There are few Marines and a few servicemen who have ever had a grenade land at their feet and still walk around without a scratch to tell about the story. But Lance Corporal Cobb of the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion and one of his mates had just that happen on a recent patrol. Lance Corporal Cobb, could you tell us a little about what happened?
It scared me. It just laid there and smoked. So we turned around and looked at each other and turned around and started to back up, and then it didn't go off, so we just kept throwing frags down in the tree line.
In your hand, you hold the top of the grenade and the string. I imagine you'll cherish that for quite a while, quite a few years to come. What were your thoughts immediately after noticing that the grenade was not going to go off?
Then we started to pick it up, but then we started receiving small arm fire, so we just kept throwing frags.
Corporal Lenny Miller, I understand you were the other man that was with Lance Corporal Cobb when the Chi-Com grenade landed. Can you tell us how you felt when you saw it come sailing in?
At first, I didn't know what to think. I was a little scared. I was real scared, and then we just turned to each other, and we didn't know what to do at the time. We just looked down at the grenade again, and it was just smoking. So after not knowing whether to go back to our sandbag bunkers or just stay there, we just kept looking at each other, and then all of a sudden we just started going back out to give more grenade fire out.
Well, after you found out that it was a dud, what were your immediate thoughts?
I was really relieved. I was just thanking God at the time. And after we started back out, we started receiving small arms fire. And so Lance Corporal Cobb and I, we was giving each other fire as we was throwing grenades out. And then they called us back in because we were getting out too far, and they wanted to keep us within a distance of safety.
This is Marine Staff Sergeant Hal Blake with the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion in Vietnam. A Navy corpsman attached to any Marine unit is there specifically for the purpose of treating the wounded and taking care of the Marines. But on an ideal situation in combat, a corpsman is mighty relieved not to have to treat anybody. And we have such a case here as the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion, a 17-man squad coming into contact with the enemy, killing 122 and coming out without a single casualty. We're talking to the corpsman of that squad right now. His name, HM3 Lurch. Can you tell us a little about the operation?
Well, not really too much. I was down on the eastern end, away from the CP, but we could hear them calling in artillery from the CP, and we could see from our position with the 750s, we could barely make out the NVA that were crossing down there. There wasn't really too much that happened down at our end. I know the night that they started mortaring, you, from the mortars that, as they came in, you get the same sound as you will from a dud artillery illumination round. And we were sitting down there, and we thought they were just dud artillery illums going on overhead until somebody came down and said, we're getting mortared. And right away, people start ducking, you know, and I've got my unit. Good Lord, somebody's going to be a hero and get themselves blown away. But I am glad that we have no casualties. And on all the patrols I've been out with this team, we've never had a casualty due to enemy action.
How many patrols have you been on, and how long have you been over here, Doc?
Well, I've been here with Recon 2 months, and I've been on 7 patrols so far.
How do you feel being a part of the team that counted the stack up like they did on this one?
Well, I'm proud, really. It's a great team, and I'm really proud to be a member of it. They kid me a lot about being a sailor, being a squid, but I think that they like having me along just as much as I like being along with them.
Well, thank you very much, Doc. This is Marine Staff Sergeant Hal Blake with the 1st Marine Division, 1st Reconnaissance Battalion.
Vietnam may seem like a strange place to try to learn gourmet cooking, but if you eat sea rations enough over here, you'll try just about anything once. Here's a report from Staff Sergeant Hal Blake.
Today we're talking to Captain Jeff Pickett, who is the forward air control officer for the 2nd Battalion, 7th Marines. Captain, we noticed you cooking up quite a delicacy here just a few moments ago. Could you give us a name for that?
Well, there's really not any name for it. I found that over here everything revolves around cheese. If you can put cheese into a recipe, it usually turns out pretty good. What I had was beans and meatballs. And if you take a little bit of cheese and put it on top of the meatballs, a little bit of Tabasco sauce, compliments of the McElhaney Company, turns out to be quite a good dish. This afternoon, I did the same thing with chicken and noodles with a little bit of cheese on top of it, which comes in the B2 packet in the sea ration box.
Well, we noticed that you do a little swapping between the boxes themselves to come up with an ideal preparation, I suppose you would call it. Then you also carry a little bottle of Tabasco sauce. What does this add to it?
Well, Tabasco sauce adds quite a bit of character to the food. Eating this sort of stuff day after day can get kind of bland. And we find that by trading around, and while my radio operator particularly cares for ham and scrambled eggs, so I give him all my ham and scrambled eggs, and I take the things that I like, such as meatballs and beans and chicken and noodles, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, do you have any particular dish that you're especially fond of or especially like to prepare?
Mostly I'm just a coffee drinker. If I can drink coffee all day long, I'd be happy, but one can't live by coffee alone, so I kind of like the spiced beef, and I like most of the beans and frankfurters, or the beans and meatballs, things like that, particularly care for.
Well, is there any special recipe that you'd care to give out to the troops now that maybe you've been hiding in the background for a while?
No, I don't think any of us have any secret recipes. Most of the stuff is passed around quite freely. If one person has some Tabasco sauce, he usually gives it to someone else to use. If anyone is smart enough to carry an onion with them out in the field, that usually doesn't last very long because people are scrounging from them. Anything that can be put into food to give it a different type of flavor than what is normally gotten out of the sea ration box is utilized by everyone.
That was Marine Combat Correspondent Staff Sergeant Hal Blake reporting. I'm Corporal Jim Groom of the Combat Information Bureau, Da Nang, Vietnam.
Most anywhere you go in Vietnam, you'll find a Navy chaplain who is an officer in the Navy with a Marine unit to hold church services, counsel the young Marines in the field, and try to help in any way they can. But it is rather a rarity when you find an enlisted Marine who has the occupation of a pastor. We're talking to one such Marine now. And could you tell us your name and hometown, please?
Sir, I'm PFC Simpson. I'm from Canterbury, New York.
And we understand that you were a pastor in civilian life and are working toward that goal now.
Right. I'm I came into service for 4 years and I'm planning on going back to college when I get out, so I can finish college to be a pastor.
Well, do you have much opportunity to practice your life's profession here in the field with the 2nd Battalion, 7th Marines?
Yes, I do. The fellows here from Foxtrot here, sometimes we get these fellows that like to talk about religion and things like that, so we'll sit down and hold discussions, and if they want to ask questions, then I'm free to answer at any time.
Well, have you had the opportunity at all to work with a chaplain, or do you plan on getting around to maybe working with a chaplain here in the future?
Well, my plans might be for the future. For as it is right now, I seem to be in the field most of the time when Sunday rolls around. So, as of now, I haven't had a chance.
Well, we know that in many such cases, many young men are not real strong believers when they come over here, but I'm sure that you've seen examples that have proven that they are believers and a little prayer when the going gets rough.
When I first came over, I ran into a few fellows that, you can't really call them atheists, because now that I've met them, they more or less believe in what, about Christ and about heaven. But when I first met them, they told me, well, I don't believe in them really. And I believe that when death comes, that death is It's just all there is for me. I mean, there's no life after. But after a few months over here, though, their minds are changed, and under combat, they do find that they pray with the man upstairs.
Well, thank you, PFC John Simpson, the preacher, as the boys of Foxtrot 2-7 so fondly call him. This is Marine Staff Sergeant Hal Blake with the 2nd Battalion, 7th Marines in Operation Worth. Beans, bullets, and bandages, a very important part of any operation that a Marine goes on in the field in Vietnam, mostly resupply by helicopter. We're at the logistical support area for the 7th Marine Regiment, where we're talking to Major Nick Carter, who handles all of the resupply for the battalions who are now in the field, 1-7 and 2-7 on Operation Worth. Major Carter, could you tell us a little of how you go about resupplying these battalions in the field?
Well, I'll tell you, Blake, as you can see, we have an enormous amount of supplies here. As you say, beans, bullets, and bandages. We have everything from dog food for our scout dogs to optical equipment, you name it. And it's the full efforts of the 1-4, our air officer, the engineer officers, the supply officers that we have, like Tom Callahan, young lieutenant that works with me here, and Major Johnson from the shore party, or the helicopter support operations. And we have shore party outfits out with the companies that are monitoring and listing and recording supplies that are required for daily operations, you know. And we get them in here that are relayed into our unit here, which is the hub of the entire operation. And then we break it down. It's palletized and broken out into certain units, you know. And then we bring in the helicopters here, and the teams load it on. We're bringing out some external lifts right now because we're trying to save some time. It's a lot to it, you know, a lot of activities involved. You can see we've got chainsaws here where we have to cut our way into the jungle. We've got three canopies out there in some of this area, you know. With a triple canopy, bringing in helicopters for evacs or resupply. Sometimes we got an aerial drop. We have an aerial outfit here that drops in there, and we can resupply through aerial drops or else on the ground. We even use the Otis, as you know, which is a great little vehicle that we use in some of the areas down south where we have a lot of the streams and rivers, you know, and sand.
Well, there are many problems involved in this, like you mentioned, maybe even having to go aerial drops and the chainsaws. The chainsaws, I understand, are to actually cut landing zones for the choppers to come into.
Yeah, these are right in the jungle, right there in the jungle. And maybe sometimes we have to move a few gorillas up there, you know, and they get excited because they're evicted from their low poverty area. But it helps, you know. They realize whose side we're on.
Well, I understand that a lot of times now, that with these problems along in a deep, dense jungle area like this, you have certain medevacs. Do you also handle this portion of it, or your air officer here?
This is handled through us right here. We have our helicopter support teams that are actually bringing in the helicopters out there into the zones, and they put the casualties aboard the helicopters, and if they're seriously wounded, they bring them right into NSA or into the MedBat, you know, for medical treatment right away.
Well, now, I was out at 2-7 yesterday, and they had a little trouble with the heat. Does this pose any special problems for you here at the LSA?
Well, it just throws an added burden with water, salt tablets, and things, but we've anticipated these things because we review operational requirements for whether it's medicines or water supply or clothing and things, and we have it here. So if they run into these problems, we shoot it right out to them or bring the casualties out of the field itself.
Well, thank you very much, Major Nick Carter, the S-4 for the 7th Marine Regiment, who is handling the resupply here, as the Marines call it, beans, bullets, and bandages, one of the very important functions for a Marine unit in the field. This is Marine Staff Sergeant Hal Blake with the 1st Marine Division.
There is a hill between Cam Lo and Camp Carroll near the DMZ in Vietnam. They call it Mike's Hill, in memory of the Marines of the 3rd Battalion, 4th Marine Regiment, who, for 4 days, withstood the onslaught of two North Vietnamese Army reinforced battalions. The Marines accounted for more than 150 kills in those 4 days. They took 10 prisoners of war, and they captured many individual and crew-served weapons and a great amount of supplies. We went to Cam Lo and talked to some of the men who helped win the battle for Mike's Hill.
At the time of the battle for Mike's Hill near Cam Lo, Vietnam, the company commander of my company was Captain R.W. Calm. Captain Calm, could you evaluate how the Marines of my company and the other Marines of 3-4 involved in this action performed their duties that day?
There were many instances of heroism. As Lima Company began the counterattack, it became evident that their sweep was going to have to pass through this ambush site. Needless to say, even though they're Marines, they were highly excited. And any movement would probably draw a hail of fire. One Marine wrapped himself up in an air panel. We advised the advancing company that they would see some Marine gaudily dressed in an air panel coming to their position for the link-up. This was accomplished and without any injuries, even though enemy sniper fire and there was still fire being thrown into Mike's Hill. My artillery fort observers often exposed themselves in order to get a better view, so to speak, of the combat area, in order to fire and adjust fires on enemy positions.
Captain, who is in control of this area known as Mike's Hill right now?
Presently, the U.S. forces stretch along Highway 9 from the access road to Camp Carroll to the Hill 37, which covers the ambush sector, so to speak, of Highway 9 supplying Camp Carroll.
Marine Lieutenant John Leffen was platoon commander with the 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines, Mike Company, in the battle for Mike's Hill near Cam Lo, Vietnam. Lieutenant Leffen had an opportunity to see a lot of young Marines in action, distinguishing themselves in a battle against an overwhelmingly large enemy force. Lieutenant Leffen, could you describe exactly what your thoughts were as to how the Marines performed their duty out there that day?
There were two things that came to my mind during the course of the battle and after it was over. One is expressed by my platoon sergeant at that time, Sergeant Douglas Petrella. He said that people in the United States with the beatniks and the anti-war people seem to think that our generation is going to hell. And he said, and I firmly believe, that if they just could have seen the Marines that day, their opinion would really have changed. The thing that I thought of was a visit a long time ago to the Marine Corps Memorial in Arlington. There's an inscription on it that says, "Where uncommon valor was a common virtue." It was true that day. Everything that my people and the people who were on the hill did was so far above and beyond the call of duty that what they did, it just seemed commonplace, and the people who did receive the awards were just representative of everything that happened that day. One word that could sum them up would be just magnificent.
The battle for Mike's Hill is finished. It will not be forgotten. I'm Marine Combat Correspondent Corporal Jim Groom reporting at the Combat Information Bureau, Da Nang, Vietnam.